Let's just start with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'm going to run right up into chapter 6 pretty fast because I got to get to chapter 10, 11, and 12 today. And 13 is where we're treading ahead. But this first part in Hebrews chapter 1, very important here. He didn't take very long to get into this book, Hebrews 1. He said, God at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, he's saying in that verse that God's spokesperson was the entire Old Testament. Prophets, kings, priests, the law, that's what he's speaking of. That's God spoke to the nations through Israel. He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's his new spokesperson because he has a new message. He's been ordained of the Father, sent from the Father, and given a message in words from the Father. Very important that we understand what the Son is saying because you get hooked up in what the Old Testament was only foreshadowing the Son. It's very important we understand the mission and where the gospel, where it is today, is totally different where the gospel was in the old. Amen. And there's a spirit on that if you don't watch it. Now, it's wonderful to go into the treasures of the old because it foreshadowed who we are, painted vivid pictures of what we are today. But if you don't have the proper revelation of what the Son is saying, you'll go back under the old and get a spirit on you. And that's what the Galatians did. And Paul had to straighten them out. Amen. Hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things by whom he made the worlds. Who being in the brightness of his glory, who being in the brightness of the Father's glory, he expressed the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. He was the express image of the Father. That's when Philip said, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. And he said, hey, had you seen me for 3.5 years? How could you say something like that? He goes, I am the Father. He goes, I'm representing him. Who do you think's talking? Through me. Who do you think's doing these works through me? I don't come in my own stead. I come and I've been sent from him. I can do nothing of myself. He could have done it in himself, but he chose not to. He laid his authority down, became a man, and he was sent from the Father. Amen. All things by the word of his power, and he hath by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Sat down at the right hand is the heart of this book, the right hand of the Father. Everything is setting the compass for that place. Amen. He mentions that 5 times, and about 5 more times, he actually describes that position. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, I want to get into the continuing city, Zion. We begin to lay the foundation of it under the old, but now we're going to see it under the new. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, it's just great scripture, isn't it? That's probably meditation. You take that one scripture, you can get in a lot of trouble with something like that. Therefore, leave the principles and the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I've actually heard people teach on this. So we're leaving the foundation and we're going to go into some superseded perfection. And I'm like, well, how perfected do you think you're going to get wearing that body? You're not. Until the sound of the trump, you really won't be incredibly perfect. So that's not the perfection he was talking about. It's not perfection you attain in this human standard. Let us go on into perfection. Perfection is not something that happens to you. Perfection is a place that you come to. Okay? All right. Hebrews 7:19. He says, for the law made nothing perfect. Somebody needs to tell that fellow out of Dallas that, for the law made nothing perfect. Everyone said that. The law made nothing perfect. But bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw nigh unto God. He mentions perfection about 7 or 8 times in Hebrews. Go to chapter 9, verse 6. I'm going somewhere. Now, what's happening here is chapter 1 and 2, he's basically describing the Lord's authority over the angels. And then he gets in and he differentiates in chapter 3 and 4. He's differentiating the Lord's priesthood versus Moses and how Moses brought him in to the rest. Joshua brought him on into the promised land, but that was only foreshadowing the true rest. because there's a promise being left of us entering into his rest, the rest where he sat down at the right hand of the Father and finished the work. Okay? Chapter 5, 6, and 7 begin to introduce him as a high priest and differentiates his priesthood versus the priesthood, Levitical Aaron's priesthood, Levi's priesthood. He said he was called out of a different order. He wasn't called out of them. He goes, those men, their priesthood signified it wasn't going to continue. He brought him out of a different order, like Melchizedek was born out of a different priesthood. Wasn't born out of that lineage. He goes into all that. Now, chapter 9, he's going to begin talking about the tabernacle. He's differentiating with the earthly tabernacle of the Levites. But he did not come to serve an earthly tabernacle. If he did, he would have been born of that lineage. He was born of another because he had another tabernacle to build. Now, this is important. Okay, chapter 9, verse 6, we're building here. Now then, those things were thus ordained. The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But in the second went the high priest alone every year, not without blood, for he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people, the Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing, or the Levitical priesthood, while that was standing, they would have to come year after year. And the Holy Spirit was saying, as long as they had to keep coming year after year, atonement was not complete. It had to be continually made. And thus, that tabernacle was still standing, and the way to the holiest of all, the true holiest of all, which was heaven itself, was not yet manifest. Anybody want to go back under that one? They couldn't get out of the earth. Do you understand that? Their tabernacle couldn't get you out of the earth. Ours calls you out of the earth system, translates you into the kingdom where you're not of this world. I'm boggled at how much that I have been around the gospel personally, how much we have, and the prayer and the fastings and the pursuits of God, and how little we understand about access into the heavenlies. More importantly, how little we even access it in experience. I mean, it's just not a part of what we do. You didn't go to church, full gospel church, 20, 30 years and not once. Is that even mentioned? Everything is earthly perspective. Everything, love one another. What are you going to love them with? I'm amazed of how much the Bible has to say about this and how little has been taught and pursued. And who are we anyway? You know, verse 9, which was a figure of then time present in which we offered both gifts and sacrifice, could not make him that did the service perfect. You see that? It could not be made perfect under that tabernacle. They kept the law for 70, 80 years. They couldn't obtain the perfection of God, nor could they enter in where he wanted them to enter in. Only the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies once a year. You couldn't go in there. You would not go in there. Even if you were in charge of the one pulling him out, in case God didn't accept the sacrifice, the bells stopped jingling. Chuck, it's me or you, brother. Somebody's got to go in there and get him. That place, it was whole holy. How'd you like to be the high priest the night before he gets his family around him and say, you know, this might be my last day. I got to go meet with God. I got to make atonement. If he doesn't accept it, I'm out of here. Chuck, I love you. You're the man that's called to come and prepare the burial of my body. You'll come in there and get me and say, no. If you didn't make it, I wouldn't make it. That place was cut off. Verse 11, but Christ become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Say greater and more perfect tabernacle. Greater and more perfect. Not made with hands. Now, we have glorious buildings, and we're thankful for that. We have a glorious interior building anyway here. But there are very nice sanctuaries in the earth. But God, he comes and meets with us in there, but that's not his tabernacle. You do understand that. That's not what he's building. I like buildings. I want them, but that's not what he's building per se. His tabernacle is being built in another place altogether. Hallelujah. A greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered once in the holy place, having obtained the eternal redemption for us. He went into the presence of the Father as the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, and he offered the final sacrifice. Therefore, there was no necessity that any other sacrifice be made. The high priest did not have to go. That whole priesthood then had finished and fulfilled their calling. They brought in the Son. They brought the Messiah in. The calling of that priesthood was over. Now God speaks through the Son, and he speaks through the Son that's passed into the heavens. That's important. Now look at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true. They were only foreshadowing the true, but into heaven itself. To appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place year after year. He didn't have to do that one sacrifice. Okay, he's building that. Okay, that's chapter 9. He's going to build right into chapter 10, right off of that, okay? Now look at chapter 10. He's saying, look, he came in. Look at verse 1, chapter 10. We're going to the continuing city, amen, but we're on our way up. It's a remarkable book when you understand. He covers every single area. If you really understand what he's saying, you'd never have an issue anymore. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, see that? Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. There's that word perfect again. Let us go on into perfection. The law could not, in other words, that whole priesthood could not deliver you into the place God wanted you to be. Did not have the capacity because it couldn't deal with the fallen nature. The thing that caught you off in the first place. It could not cause a transformation. Now stay with me. I'm trying to get you to heaven here. And I'm not talking about when you die. I want to get you to heaven now. I'll tell you for certain what God doesn't want. He does not want you just to get to heaven when you die. Of course, he wants that. That's not his mission. His mission was to deliver you heaven now. Do you understand that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. For then said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I take away the first. Jesus, how more plain can that get? Take away the first. Everyone say, take away the first. That he may establish the second by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest and daily ministering offering oftentimes the same sacrifice can never take away those sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice, sat down. That's the rest, by the way. That is the rest. That's his rest. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. From henceforth expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath forever perfected. Everyone say, I am forever perfected. The perfection was obtained. But more importantly, the access has now been given. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. Say new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What are you drawing near to? Well, I'm drawing near to him. Well, where is he? In heaven. So you're drawing near. That means in this lifetime, you are called to step out of this jurisdiction and dimension and step into his. For what purpose are you called? It's called union. He just kind of thinks his place is better than our place. I think he's right. Now, look at verse 23. Let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. because he says this, because there's a great war imposed upon you in your pursuit of God. There are going to be times that you have the capacity to waver. Not only does he say that, look on down in chapter 10 here. Look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, say draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. Ephraim drew back in the day of battle, and he lost the ark because of it. God has something very, 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 very special in the right hand. And for those that make it into there, they'll transform the world. Because what he gives to those who overcome, to those who overcome, I'll grant to sit with me in the right hand. Do you think he's just talking about this lifetime? What are you going to overcome? Well, I made it through life. Who doesn't make it through life? Well, I made it through. I overcame. Now I get to sit with him. What about the ones who didn't overcome, but they had the position that they were sitting with him already of Ephesians 2? To him that overcome, you might be talking about overcoming something to get positioned with him before you go on to him in glory. What about sitting with him now? There is a war imposed on that place, but God has this thing. He said, I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but you'll have to make your ascent there. It's a journey. It's just like the children of Israel went on a journey. When he called Abraham out, he said, go into a country that you know not of. He told the children to come out of Egypt. He said, I'll tell you where you're going. Notice he doesn't tell them. He just says, come out. You're on a need-to-know basis. All right? And they follow him. The same way we did when we were born again and we're following him. Well, what is the end run to following him? Well, I got to fulfill my call. I understand that. That's your function. That's your vocation in God. But what is the end run of your hunger? Because if you've been around the ministry long enough, even functioning in the ministry does not satisfy the hunger in you. Do you understand that? Once you get the blessings of God, once you get the ministry or the calling and you walk in your calling, it still doesn't satisfy you. Do you understand that? Only people who walk around long enough know that you can minister 50 years. Pastor Jerry there is pastor for 50 years. I've been minister 14 years. I'm right smack in the middle of my calling in the perfect will of God, but I'm still very much unsatisfied. Do you think when God gives me something new, that's going to satisfy me? No, I'm just going to want something else. Give me the city, I want 10 cities. Give me 10 cities, I want the whole nation. Give me $1 million to steward, I want 10 million. Give me 10 million to steward, I want 100 million. There's never an end to the flow of God. Get 10 people out of wheelchairs, I want to empty the children's hospital. After that, I want to empty all the children's hospital. See, there's no end to that. And there is a beauty of that, the release of the gospel, but it doesn't satisfy you. Nothing you're going to get. You paint your house 10 times, refurnish the thing, put new grass on the lawn. We're still going to have something gnawing at you. Get the promotion. Plenty of money in the bank. I just know if I can just have that one person that I've, you know, Lord, just listen, there's no person going to give you that. You need that too much. You're going to take that person and drain them. You can't do that. That place is in him. There's only one place that you can come. And so hidden deep in these books, there is a compass that you can locate for what your heart's really looking for. And in the location of that compass, there's a release. There's a release to access a place that you can be satisfied, a place you can drink, a place you can eat, a place you can experience fullness today and tomorrow morning again, a place where that fullness goes from glory to glory. Place where you're dead here, but your life, a place of resurrection life, is hidden at the right hand of the Father. And these books teach you how to get in there. They give you the pathway. All right? But if any man draw back from the process, you're drawing back from the pool of the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father is pulling you all the time. You just don't know it. The way God pulls you is that hunger. He's always pulling you. It's that void, the vacuum. You've got to take that vacuum and turn it to God and approach God with it, not walk away. Amen. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. We are not of those that draw back. Everyone say, I am not of those that draw back. Go to Hebrews 11. Now, when he does this, he talks about the sacrifice. You're forever perfected. He goes back under and he starts listing the hall of fame of faith. And he goes back and listed all those that laid the foundation for what we're walking in, but they didn't inherit. Now, this is where this gets good, all right? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, because your faith is supposed to be employed to reach into the right hand of the Father. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things which seen were do not appear. Verse 6. Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God. Everyone say, cometh to God. Coming to God. How are you going to come to God? Well, see, you can't just walk into a natural tabernacle and find him now. You got to come to where he is, and he exists in a kingdom that's not of this world. And the way you move into that kingdom is by faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word. When you understand that place that you're given access, your faith can employ the word of God inside you. And that's how you move into that dimension. You see that? I'm getting technical on you a little bit, but it's all right. The coming to God must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. Now, look at verse 8. For by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Isn't that like God? Go out, not knowing where you're going. When we begin this journey in the pursuit of revival, in the pursuit of wealth transference, not knowing where we're going, should have added, and have our Pampers on. For the first 8 years, we had our Pampers on. Not knowing where we're going or what we're asking for or the accountability, but God likes to take the weak things of the world to confound the wise, even if we are walking around with our Pampers. Amen. Say, not know where we're going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Look at this. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look at this. Verse 10 is very important. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, God calls him out and takes him to this land, but he's looking for something. Even Abraham was looking for something. He was looking. There's something in him. He says, I got to find something. These men looked all their life and never found it. How do you know that? Verse 13. These all died while they were looking. These all died in faith. How'd you like to be Abraham live 120 years? How old was he? He was still having kids at 120. About 200 something, you know, hey. 200 years of walking. He started 75, 125 years of walking by faith and never obtained. He birthed Isaac. Yeah, he birthed a promise, but he didn't obtain what his heart was looking for. Do you see that? He was looked for a city, but he died in faith, not having received the promises. Not only him, every single other person listed in Hebrews chapter 11 did not receive what was looking for on the inside of them. They moved mountains. They did exploits. They transformed kingdoms, birthed, raised the dead, but they didn't receive what was inside them. Abraham looked for a continuing city and he couldn't find it, and it was not accessible to him. He died not receiving what all this was about.
Do you see that?
These all died in faith. Say, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they've been mindful, now, oh, wait a minute, I don't get into that in just a second. He says, because they looked for that, it said they professed they were seeking a country, but they couldn't find it. Do you know that we don't have to live like that? We can find our destination. Do you know it is your call to find your destination before you get there? Do you know it's the highest thing on God's agenda for you to find what He purchased for you, access it before you ever get there when you die? Die now. Find it now. Do you know the call of the greatest, those that will rule and reign with Him for eternity, is the ones that find that position? Not even Abraham could find it. Not Isaac, not Jacob, none of them. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off. See, it was in them. John 8:56, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw his day. He saw prophetically a seed was going to come, because there's something about the one I've got to give birth to, but there's somebody in his loins. He rejoiced to see my day. They had a big problem with that statement. He saw it and was glad. Say, he saw it. He saw the promise afar off, but he couldn't attain to it because it wasn't available for him. He looked for a city, verse 10, who hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God, verse 14. And they that say such things, bracing the promise, confessing the promise, verse 13 at the end of it says, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. I'm a stranger to the earth. Why? Because something in them said, I'm a stranger here. Said, they that confess such things, listen to this, they that confess such things declared plainly they were seeking a country. Now get this. Look at verse 15. If they had been mindful of that country from where they came out of, they might, not might, they would have had an opportunity to have returned. Do you know what he's saying there? You know how that pertains to you? If they were mindful from where God called them out, when they encountered the resistance, how'd you like to go 200 years of looking for something you couldn't obtain? You ever think about that and think, well, maybe I would go back to where I started from. How about Caleb when he was running around after seeing the promised land of Mount Hebron and had to go back in the wilderness for 45 years? Think it ever tempted him to go, why am I doing this for? Let's just go back to Egypt. I'm running around in this silly desert with this rock following us, this pillar of fire, and I eat this same stuff every morning. It's angel's food, but I get tired of angel's food. I'd like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know. Do you understand what it took to have something on the inside of you, the sea, looking for a land? You got the land, but you were looking for a city. There's something else they were looking, they were searching, because they were connecting to the heartbeat of God of what he wanted to do in a future generation. And they were connecting, but they couldn't obtain to it. And said, if they had been mindful from where they came out of, if they were mindful of where they left, in other words, if they allowed that possess their thoughts, they would draw back. They would draw back. If any man draw back, my soul would have no pleasure. And yet they had to press on to something they couldn't obtain. That gives me a lot of encouragement. Because when God sets something in here from day one, revival and things like that, and every time we go year after year, we haven't obtained what God had said, you know. And it's so easy. Let's just draw back into the church of activity, the first church of activity. Let's just have a bunch of programs, first church of program and activity. Let's just draw back into that, set some activity in, set some program. People love to be employed. Do you understand that? Here, I come to church, give me something to do. Well, we want to actually give you a place to go. No, no, give me something to do. Just let me put my hands. No, we want to teach you to go somewhere. We want to teach you to employ faith, something your hands can't touch. We're going to take you to a mountain you can't touch with your hands. We're going to take you a mountain. No, I want a mountain I can touch. Just give me something I can put myself to. Well, that's not what we're about. Well, I don't go over there. I don't like this stuff. I can't obtain to it. How'd you like Abraham? 100-something years of doing that. He couldn't obtain to it. Don't you think if he'd have been mindful from where he left, if he'd have given his thoughts from where he left, he would have wanted to go back. If any man draw back, they couldn't even obtain to what was working in their heart. When I saw that, I said, who? Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. Oh, that is a heavenly. Say heavenly. They were desiring a heavenly city. They were walking in the promised land. Abraham was richer than probably any of us will ever be. 318 employees. Wealthy. God gave him a whole nation, a whole country. Everything he did touched. He birthed his Isaac, but he was still mindful. There was something working. I got to attain. I'm looking for a heavenly, and he couldn't find it in the earth. He was cut off from it. You're talking about faith to have to live your life like that. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God's not ashamed to be their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 12, chapter 1. You ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, the ones that couldn't obtain until you, they couldn't be perfected without us. They could not be perfected, it said. They, without us, could not come into perfection. In other words, they had to wait for the one that was going to open the door for where their heart wanted to go. Even all the Old Testament saints went into Abraham's bosom. They couldn't even inherit the city until Jesus came and paid the price. And he led captivity captive, brought him out of Abraham's bosom, came and preached to the spirits in prison. Who do you think he's preaching to? All of Abraham, you're imprisoned to a fallen nature, you've waited out the dispensation. I am the one. How'd you like to be in his bosom? He's on the earth. We've got word. He's on the earth. Abraham, he's here. He's going to come any day. Being in Abraham's bosom for 1,000 years and finally he's there. It's a comfortable place. But it wasn't their city. It wasn't their home. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before you. What is your race? You are called to come into the right hand of the Father, which was inaccessible for them, but is accessible to you. You can come into the continuing city now. How do you know that? Just keep reading. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He authored you. He's going to finish you. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God. You will sit down at the right hand of God because he's authoring. He's going to finish your race. He's going to bring you in the right hand. That's where it all begins, actually. It ends and begins right there. Now look at verse 18. You are not come unto a mount that might be touched, material mountain that burned with fire, nor into blackness, darkness, and tempest, the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, the voice that they heard entreated that the words should not be spoken of them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded, so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned and thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. This was Mount Sinai, when they came to the border of the mountain. God came to meet them. But there was such a gulf between them and God. They had nothing that could inherit him. And so they couldn't touch the mountain. But he says, you're not even come to a mountain that can be touched like that. Because I'm not calling you to a material mountain like Sinai. Even the woman in John chapter 4. The Samaritan woman said, well, our fathers say we should worship on this mountain. You say you should worship on that one. Which should it be? He says, neither. He goes, the hour is coming and now is that they that worship him will worship him where he is and not in this earth system. He goes, you're not going to worship on that mountain. He won't call you to this mountain of Zion or Jerusalem to worship. He won't call you to Sinai to worship. He's drawing you into him to worship. For he seeketh such that will worship him in spirit and in truth, because he's going to make a way for you to come to where he is and worship him face to face. You're not coming to a mountain that can be touched with your hands. You think you're going to touch God with your natural senses. No, that's not the mountain he's called you to. But you've come to Mount Zion. The heavenly Jerusalem, the one that every one of those Old Testament saints could not touch, for the exception of David. He transcended it, operated and accounted righteousness, received the promise. Hide me under the shadow, Father. You know how great he was to access something that was inaccessible? Last thing I'm going to do is have him come to me. He goes, I accessed it. Boy, when I had a spiritually dead nature, what'd you do with what you had? I said, I made it. Is this good or what? Verse 22, but you're come. You're not called to Sinai. You're not called to a mountain. You're not called to a building. Of course, you're called to a building. That's where we learn, but that's not where you meet God. Well, I met God over there at Houston Revival. No. That's not where you meet him. You might be in here, but that's not where you're meeting him. You're meeting him in the heavenlies. You're meeting him where he is. And that access, because of his word and because light's given to it. You know, before Luther came along, there was a whole lot of people didn't even know how to get born again. But now, once this message starts coming into the earth, access, the heavens have always been open. But because the light that's been given to it opens everything up, and everyone will start venturing in, moving in. So will you be sitting here? No man has ascended from heaven except he that ascended to heaven, which is in heaven. You'll be sitting here talking, and you move. You have such incredible access to him. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to Mount Zion. This is the spiritual mountain. Unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He's not talking about when you die. He's talking about now. Why would he say you didn't come to the mountain you cannot touch? I'm giving you access to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. Let us go on into perfection. You know, you can preach it. I told the Lord, I said, I can preach it till the sun goes down. But until your power and demonstration shows up, they're just not going to have an ear to hear. He knows that. Verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the blood of the sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, verse 25, that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away, if we draw back like Ephraim because of the war imposed the kingdom of heaven suffering the violence. Your position in the kingdom suffers the violence. How much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that is speaking from heaven? If any man draw back, you don't get the luxury of drawing back into the world system. How about this? Drawing back into religion. I think I'll just draw back. I don't feel comfortable anymore. I think I'll just draw back into religion. Or you get molded into indifference. See that you do not refuse him that's speaking from heaven, calling you to where he is. That's heavy. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrine, It's a good thing the heart be established with grace and not with meat, which hath not profited them that have been occupied therein. He's talking about the law. Don't go back there. Can't deliver you to the continuing city. Cannot deliver you to the right hand. It did not have the capacity. It fell short. For we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which continue to serve in that system. They don't have a right to eat from your altar. Your altar's in the heavens, for which he is the high priest of a better tabernacle, not made with hands, in the heavens. You have a right to eat at that, because you're a priest, called of a different order, of a heavenly priesthood, not of an earth. And that's just as they were able to eat of the showbread, and they were able to eat as priests. It was law for them. They're not able to eat of that one unless they go through him. You have a right to eat at an altar that they have no access to. That's an altar of the one who passed into the heavens. The forerunner that went through the veil is the high priest that administrates from the heavenly tabernacle. You have a right to eat from my table, says the Spirit of grace. For it was this thing for which I came, to call you out of death, and to bring the full restoration, to once again eat from the tree of life with me and my Father in the garden. And for this garden, says the Spirit of grace, is not found in the system you were born in. But I have granted you access. I've granted you a place and an altar, a place with me to come and eat of things that your mind and even your appetite has not been fully developed for. But I will draw you, and I will reveal myself as I did to Enoch, as I did to David. And I'll cause you to experience the glories that I have held with the Father for all eternity. And from this place, I will send you into the world. I will send you as a light bearing the glory of this place, bearing the power, the wisdom, and most of all the love. For you will surely know my love. For I'm drawing you to place for which it flows. You will be loved in this hour, says the Spirit of the Lord, with a love that's incomprehensible to your mind. And this love, where the world will know that you have been with me, they will see it and they will experience it, says the Spirit of grace. Rejoice in this hour for where you have come from, and know that you have an exceedingly abundantly great entrance into those things I've purchased for you. For this is the place of my inheritance, of which I purchased with great tribulation and pain. For I desire to see you come up into the bosom of the Father, to know the Father the way I know him, and to be sent from this place into the earth, bearing my name, bearing my glory, bearing my love. Thank you, Father, for the continuing city. We're no longer aliens, foreigners. We've been granted access as living stones, Father, to the habitation of the Most High God. Let us come up. Let us all come up. For we have been raised together. We have been made to sit together.